Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. In Luke 22:42, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed the prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done." This is a model, really, for us as Christians, as followers of Christ. This prayer, this heart posture is so important for us to understand. Once we understand the surrender behind this prayer, it unlocks a whole new world of potential in God. Over the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about this prayer of surrender, this posture of surrender, a life of surrender that learns to pray the prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done." It's a prayer, it's a heart posture, and it's a life that models surrender. So look at somebody as we start this and say, "Not my will. Not my will." We have a lot of things that we want to do in life. We sometimes even have a particular way that we want it done. Anybody have that in your life, or you have somebody in your life, or you have a kid in your life that they want things a particular way? They want to do things and they want it done in a particular order. I don't know about you, but I have some things that I want to do. We're born with that will. God gave us the ability to choose, and we have decisions and choices that we're going to make in life. Nobody wants somebody making all of their decisions for them. Even when we were little, I'm sure you saw this in yourself or you saw this in small children, we want to make our own decisions. I have a six-year-old and she has a plan for every day. It doesn't matter if it's a school day, it doesn't matter if it's church day, she wants to get up, she wants to swim, she wants to ride her bike. She's got a plan for the day. She's got her own plan. She's going to let us know. It normally involves, you know, the things she wants to do. As little as she is, she already has a will.
Yes, she does.
She wants to make her own plans, her own choices. How many here have had a dream that you had when you were a little kid? You say, "I want to do this. I see myself doing this when I got older." Something you desired to do. And how many people are actually doing that today? How many people are not doing what you thought you would do as a little kid? All right, I've got my hand up too. I think that's most of us. We were born with a will, born with a desire to choose different things. Now, some parts of our will are sanctified and some parts are not. Following in the footsteps of Christ is learning how to sanctify the areas of our life that aren't sanctified. We have parts of our will that are sanctified, and we have other parts of our will that are not sanctified. So as we lean into this prayer, we are asking God to sanctify the parts of our will that don't line up with His will. I'm saying, "God, get involved in these areas of my will that don't look like your will." Some of my will lines up with God, but some of my will is not yet lined up with Him. So this prayer is so important when I say, "God, not my will, but your will be done." When I was a young adult, some of you might be looking at me right now and say, "I think he's still a young adult." Well, no, I'm a grown man. I've got two teenage kids. I'm a grown man. All right? But when I was a young adult, I did not want to grow up and be a pastor. I saw a lot of things that my dad did that I wanted to emulate. That was not one of them. I did not say to myself, "My will is to be a pastor. I want to grow." I saw some different things for myself. I had the will to do some different things, but God's will was different than my will. And God's will oftentimes be different than our will. I want you to Take that in right now. God's will oftentimes be different than your will. My will said I wanted to travel, I want to do music, I want to do this, I want to do that, but my will was not yet sanctified. I'm not saying that music and traveling is wrong. It's just for some people, that's it. That's what God has called them to do. But for me in that season, that was not what God was saying. So have you ever been at that place that you spiritualized what you wanted to do? Sometimes we polish up what we want to do and try to make it sound spiritual. Right? I want to travel and help people in the name of Jesus. I want to do my music to bless people. And so whatever it is, sometimes we polish up what we want to do to try to make it sound more spiritual and more like it's God's will. And we try to present our will as something that is spiritual when we know in our hearts that it's just what we want to do.
Right.
I want you to know that it doesn't work that way, that if we pray hard enough that our will becomes His will. I can't pray the prayer, God, make my will Your will. I can't pray the prayer, God, do it my way. I have to pray the prayer, God, not my will, but Your will be done. That's the picking up our cross and following Him. That's the surrender that God is looking for. I want to tell you that God has good plans for you. But it's going to necessitate that you lay down some of the things you want to do, maybe even all of the things you want to do, for it to be sanctified and realize what He wants you to do. You have to lay down your will on the altar, have to lay your will down and ask God, what is His will for you? And here's a question, what will you do when God wants you to do something different than you want to do? What will you do when God wants you to do something different than you want to do? When my dad was teaching me about being a pastor, he said, you don't really know if someone is submitted to your leadership until there's a difference of opinions. Until they want to do something and you say, no, this is what I feel God is saying. Then you know if somebody's submitted to your leadership. The same thing is true about God, even more so. When we don't know if we're really truly submitted to God until we want to do something really bad. And God says, no, I have something different for you to do. That is surrender, not my will, but Your will be done. I've seen people try to manipulate God. I've seen people try to pray that prayer, God bless my will. God bless my plan. God bless me in what I want to do. Can I tell you it never works? God will not bless your will. Write that down big on your notes. God will not bless. Go home and write that in your journal. God will not bless my will. God only blesses His will. He wants to bless you, but you got to line up with His will for your life. God will only bless His plan. He will not bless your plan. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death or destruction. But our will always ends bad. It ends poorly. His will ends good. He's got good plans. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. if you'll surrender your will and your plans for his revisions, you'll win. You'll be undefeated. You'll be unshakable. If I show him my blueprints and let him make changes, I'm assured that I'm going to win. But God will only bless his will. So when we line up our will to his will, there's power there, and God will bless it. Not my will, but your will. God, line up my will with your will. Pray that prayer, and God can bless that prayer. It's clear in Scripture that Jesus had some desires that did not match up with God's will in that moment. Think about this in the Garden of Gethsemane. There were some desires, not bad desires, not wicked desires in Jesus' heart, but some desires that did not match up with God's desires in that moment. Will you follow me here into Scripture? I'm not telling you something that I made up. Luke 22, 40 through 42, it says, on reaching the place, talking about the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Does that sound like Jesus had a different idea of how things could play out? Father, if you're willing, and by the way, he prayed this three times. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. He was praying, if you're willing, take the cup from me. Take the cross. The cross is the cup that he was talking about. Take the cross from me. If you're willing, make a way where I don't have to go to the cross. God, if you're willing, do it a different way that I don't have to go to the cross. And that was Jesus' earthly will in that moment. How many know that Jesus was all God and all man? It's important to understand that Jesus had to walk in our footsteps. He had to walk as a man. Jesus showed us what it is like to be a perfect man. But even as a perfect man, there were certain parts of God's will that in his natural part didn't want to do.
Right.
Father, if you're willing, let the cross pass from me. You can't argue with that. It's right there, plain as day, red letters. Jesus said, I don't want to go to the cross. My will is that you would make a different way. So Jesus' will in that moment was not lined up with God's will. But that's why it's so important. He said, watch this. But yet, not my will, but your will be done. He showed a distinction between the feelings, the emotions. Can I tell you, you can't let feelings and emotions lead you. You cannot let feelings. So Jesus demonstrated that feelings and emotions did not lead or determine his life, but rather the will of the Father. He modeled surrender. This is in the Scripture. Right? Jesus allowed this to be overheard so that this could be written in Scripture so that we could understand some of the things that we struggle with our own will and how to lay down our own will so that we can line up with his will for our lives. So, Hebrews 4:15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Oh, he was tempted with that emotion. He was tempted in his will to say, not the cross. Father, let the cross pass. He was tempted with that thought, with that emotion, yet he did not sin. It's not that you're not going to feel emotions. It's not that you're not going to have thoughts in your mind. But the question is, will you surrender those things? The Apostle Paul said, I take captive every thought and bring it into what? Obedience. Woo! Not my will, but your will. I take every thought. I take every emotion. I take it into captivity and bring it into obedience to the will of God. That's why this prayer is so powerful. That's why this prayer is something we have to pray as Christians. We have to understand it. Not my will, but your will be done. It's saying, God, line up my will with yours. Jesus did not sin because he lined up his will with the Father's. And you will not sin when you have thoughts and emotions and you surrender them to God and say, not my will, but your will be done for me. We have to sanctify our will. Look at somebody and say, we have to sanctify our will. We have to line up our will with him. Jesus shows us this in his prayer. Not my will, but yours be done. Sometimes we're going to have emotions. We're going to feel a certain way about things. We're going to feel a certain way about people. But not my will, but your will be done. Your will is going to be way over here, and you're going to have to sanctify it. Need to realign your will with his. You know that thing when you change the ink cartridge on the printer? And every time it asks you to realign the printer, prints out that little page, you're like, oh my gosh, another page. It wasted a page. Always wants me to realign the printer every time I put a new ink cartridge in. We have to be as consistent to realign our will with his will every day, every season. May God realign my will with your will. Not my will. What a powerful prayer. What a powerful heart posture. Not my will, but your will be done. In every season, a heart check. Jesus was touched with those same emotions that we feel. Jesus was tempted with the same temptations. But he decided to pray a prayer that changed everything. Not my will, but your will be done. He didn't sin because he realigned with the Father's will. He sanctified his will, not my will. So here's a thought-provoking and difficult question. Will you choose God's will even when it causes you pain or discomfort? That was what was going on in that prayer there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mount of Olives. Will you choose God's will even when it causes you pain or discomfort? Jesus knew God's will would cause him great pain and suffering. Can you do God's will even when it's difficult? Will you do God's will even when it hurts? Even when it calls for you to walk through some valleys. That's surrender. Can you say, God, I'm willing to surrender my will. Not my will, but your will be done. Lots of Christians struggle with this. They want a life without pain. They want a life without suffering or betrayal. But Jesus showed us that is not the way. That was not what he promised us. He promised us that we would win. He did not promise us that we would not struggle. He did not promise us there would not be pain or betrayal or hardship. Jesus showed us and taught us that sometimes there is suffering. Sometimes there is pain. Sometimes we have to walk through the valley to get to the next mountain. Following Jesus is about surrender. It's about praying, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Following Jesus is about a heart posture of surrender. This is so important for us to take a look at our hearts and say, what posture is my heart in today? Am I willing to surrender my will for his? I want to tell you, surrender is progressive. We grow, we learn, we surrender more. We learn, we grow, we surrender more. It's a process. I don't believe when we first come to Jesus that we have it all figured out on the topic of surrender, that we've actually surrendered every single part of us. We've surrendered what we know, but we don't know much when we first come to Christ, right? We don't really even know all that will be required. When the first disciples came to Jesus, Jesus told him, come, and I'll teach you how to be fishers of men. They had no idea the totality of what would be required of them. They had no idea of what the surrender would look like. All they knew was, follow me, and I will teach you phase one. Follow me, I'll teach you level one, how to be fishers of men. That was his first lesson, not his last lesson, not the middle lesson, just the first lesson. The first time we come to Christ, that's just surrender level one. As we grow in God, can I tell you there's surrender level two? There's surrender level three. Please don't sit back in your chair today and say, oh, I've surrendered all. Maybe. Maybe not. It's more likely the Holy Spirit's going to tap on your shoulder and say, there's something else I want you to surrender. There's something else you need to surrender so that I can elevate you. If you'll surrender this, I can make you undefeated. If you surrender this, I can make you unshakable. If you'll surrender this, I can empower you to do the next thing. The more we walk with God, the more we learn what he requires. And we begin to discover what surrender really looks like. In every season, there's something different being revealed that will need to be surrendered. It's a process. Surrender is a process. This prayer helps us start a journey and continue the journey in every season. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Imagine praying that all the time in every season of your life and it meaning something different. Imagine praying that prayer a bunch of times throughout the course of your life. And every time you pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit reveals something different. Surrender is a process. God takes us on a journey of surrender. Not my will, but your will to be done. Not my will, but your will be done through me. Will you bow your heads? Let me pray with you today. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. You are teaching us the power of surrender. One of the things that made Jesus so powerful was how he had surrendered all. He was willing to lay down his will and pick up the Father's time and time and time again.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.